Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Century Hosting, Expander Digital, and GoWP. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. I have the pleasure today of introducing to you to somebody who many of you might already know. She is definitely somebody who's part of the WordPress community and well known for all of her amazing efforts in the community. And she's also a personal friend of mine because over the last, of course, the last year, we got to work together as co-organizers of WordCamp US. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to Birgit Polly Hawk. And Birgit, it's my pleasure to have you here today. Thanks so much for joining me. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I have been listening to your podcast for quite a while. You have a lot of publishing. Yeah, kind of this is the 57th or so episode in 6 months. That's kind of two or three a week. Yeah, so I really admire you. Yeah,
here's the secret. You are, I think, the 96th recording. Okay. And so we're closing in on 100. I'm very excited about that. And it's just been, it's been my joy that so many people are interested in supporting the podcast and sharing their journeys with me. It's just been very, very exciting. And I'm very grateful to have you here too.
And I enjoy all the conversations that you have with people. So meet new people, learn about something from people that I already know. So it's really nice. Yeah, thank you.
And of all the names I've had of people on the podcast, you're the second Birgit. There's been more than one Birgit in the community.
No, it's quite a common name in Germany. Yeah, right. And the other one is probably Birgit Olsson. Or
yes.
What's her name? Yeah.
Yep,
So there were four Birgits in my fourth grade class. So
there were eight Michelles in my high school graduating class. So I understand having a common name for sure.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So, I run a web development company called Poly Systems, and I founded it in 2002. In Naples, Florida. That's where I live. It wasn't my choice to move to Naples, but it's worked out just fine. We grew the company to a team of six writers, designers, developers, and project managers, and we're 100% distributed company. So that really makes it for a different toolbox there. And So after we started using WordPress in 2010, my role in the company changed a little bit. I did 50% of the development of our own custom management system, legacy code that we had from 2002 to 2010. You know, we were quite a business. But then custom development was really my stuff. And then we went to WordPress and I became more a project manager. And an online business consultant. So when people come to me, said, I have this idea. It's almost like Facebook, just better. I said, well, it's not an idea. Don't waste your time on it. Facebook already is there. Right?
I love that, but better.
Yeah. It's almost like LinkedIn, but better. So in the last 2 years, I have a little side project. It's called the Gutenberg Times, which where I curate news and facilitate discussions about the various aspects of the blog editor and what's to come. And we have live Q&As, and I also run a podcast or co-host a podcast called the Gutenberg Changelog. And we are in our 14th episode to come up, so not as prolific as you are in producing things.
I think that means you're not as crazy as I am, but we'll get back to that later.
Well, let's discuss the crazy part for a minute.
We're all a little crazy. It's okay. Yeah, that's what makes life fun.
Right. Yeah. That's and exciting. I've been part of the WordPress community since 2014. Mm-hmm. I'm a deputy on the community team, and I just recently joined the documentation team as the team rep and lead for the end user documentation.
Oh, cool.
The blog editor. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, you do seem to have a little bit of an expertise in that area, so I can right. imagine that that's a good marriage, and they're lucky to have you on that team. So
yeah,
so thank you for all of your contributions to the WordPress community. I know that I for sure have been appreciative of a lot of the things that you've shared, and certainly personally knowing you and what a positive person you are. And working together with you on things. So it's been fun.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
So let's move it. I want to see your mug. You gave me a preview, but let's show everybody else the mug that you have today. What's your mug?
This is my mug.
I love
it. Both sides, yin and yang. Yin and
yes.
yang. So it kind of reminds me every time to think of both sides of take the good with the bad with the good. And I'm normally a person that looks at the positive things of, but sometimes transitions a little harder, but I eventually get there. It depends on the grave things that happen when it's bad. Yeah.
Sure.
But, yeah. So,
I love that. The yin and yang and the balance of life is a good thing. And yeah. What are you drinking in your mug today?
I'm drinking green tea, and it's called gunpowder green tea.
Oh, I've heard of that. Is it high power? A lot of caffeine?
It has caffeine, yeah, of course, and you don't have to take that much because it's very, and the interesting thing is that each leaf is actually individually rolled. I don't know how they do this.
I don't either.
It looks really funny when you look at that in the raw. So, yeah, and I've been drinking it now for, I don't know, 6-7 years after mm-hmm. I found out that I need caffeine, but coffee is not doing it for me.
Gotcha.
You know, that much, all the whole day. So I kind of switched to green tea, and it works
That's
out.
Good. Well, I got home from WordCamp US and realized that I did not get one of the really cool mugs that Liquid Web was giving away, the camping mugs. And so I tweeted about something somebody had posted theirs, and I was like, so jealous I didn't get one. They actually mailed me one.
Oh, so, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, normally I don't just, you know, yeah. do shout outs, but they went to all the trouble of finding me one of their mugs and mailing it to me here at the office. So I'm using my Liquid Web camping mug, and I am drinking breakfast blend tea, even though it's in the afternoon. Shh, don't tell. with cream and sugar, so that it'll keep me going for the rest of the day for sure. So awesome. Tell us, you said you've really been part of the WordPress community since about 2015. How did you get started with WordPress? What made you have that transition as a company into using WordPress?
Oh my. Yeah. In 2009, I became the president of the Naples Freenet, which is a local nonprofit internet service provider, and also doing classes and and it was a free internet service provider in the times of dial-ups. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I joined it actually 11 years prior to that. In 2009, it was definitely an organization in transition. And when I was looking, and one of the programs was offering hosting and consulting or whatever you call it, technical support for nonprofits for their websites. Mm-hmm. And early 2000s, one of the tech team members created a content management system. But by the time 2009, it was highly, if not hideously, outdated. And I needed to look at a few replacements for that. And we came from our tech team is more called Fusion, and so it's a programming language that is now not used much anymore, but the sites still work. So we needed to see how can we support the nonprofit with a whole volunteer crew, even on the tech team. They were all volunteer or are all volunteers. So we needed a community, and that's why we choose WordPress at the end. I think I tested 20 content
wow.
management systems through the whole process, you know, from setting up a new account to how hard is it to change things, how hard it is to kind of get out of it again,
mm-hmm.
And what is the documentation, and went through the whole thing and landed on WordPress because the support that you get outside our own organization is immense. Yeah, there is there are generous people out there that have produced a lot of how-tos and how you do things, and for all kind of different levels of users. So that was one thing. And the other part was, it was easy to use back then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 2009, I think it was 2.8. Once we finally migrated everybody, I think it was in 3.0 or so. So we did all the standard operating manual to kind of get this all going as a little business there for the organization. And then we did a workshop. So we had 40 nonprofits, and within a summer, we kind of did weekly transition workshops, and we kind of migrated them over. And since then, and after that experience, I said, wow, I don't think anybody's going to pay us anymore for custom development. Well, let's do WordPress instead and kind of lower our prices, but make more money kind of thing. I don't know if that makes sense, but that was kind of the approach. Yeah. So
I love
that's
it.
The WordPress, origin story, so to speak.
Yeah. That's great. And it sounds like if anybody understands how to do due diligence, it's you. I tested 20 CRMs. I was like, whoa, or CSMs. Yeah, that's crazy. CMS. I can't get all the acronyms straight today. But 20 content management systems. I didn't even know there were that many. So
actually, there's 300.
I know. It's crazy. I couldn't name any. I couldn't name more than probably three or four at the top of my head. But it's good to know, though, that, you know, having chosen WordPress early on myself, that you did the work for me, and I know that I'm in the right place. So that's good.
Yeah, and I've been in the right place ever since.
Exactly. So when you look at websites, when you kind of just take in everybody's websites that you encounter, WordPress or otherwise, what's something that you think that we as designers and developers need to focus more attention on to make our web experiences better for the site visitors, for our end users?
There are so many things that you could do. So I have found that one thing that business owners, and I think it's our fault as developers that we don't point it out that much, and I have, is that business owners don't put a whole lot of attention on the contact forms. Mm. So you now do all the kind of things like SEO and social media, and so, and then people finally land up on your website, and then they decide after they went through all your pages to trust you enough to send you what their problem is, and then you ignore them. Or ignore them, or it comes back with a canned response that sounds more like a robot. Yeah. So there are so many missed opportunities there. That's definitely something to point out to anybody. Hey, but for developers, we're going to put the form in there, and then we're done with it. And what they're doing, we're not doing anything. But I think that's one of the few things that we could point out, that that's really, and then basic accessibility. I see a lot of sites that have light gray writing on white background.
Yeah.
Very well for people that are in low lighting or have visual impairment or something.
Or are over 40 years old.
Right. Yeah. And the older we get, the more money we have, right?
Yeah.
Another thing is basic SEO. Yeah. So get your titles right, get your subheaders in, and do a content standard that is more for the skimmers and not so much for the writers, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Those are good. That's actually really good advice. When I was first learning web design at all, WordPress especially, I saw the H tags, and I just thought those were different sizes. And so I would use them just to change the size of the font without any thought to SEO, without any thought to, you know, hierarchy on a page. Of course, I know better now. But back then it didn't make any sense to me. Like, oh, okay, I'll just use an H4. That looks like the right size that I want, you know? So there's so much more to it. You mentioned the part about the contact forms. I gave a talk a few years ago to several different WordCamps called The Little Things That Make a Difference on your website. And one of them was not to use the word submit on a form, because I don't know if he listens to the podcast. One of my early mentors was Jessup Myers from, he was from Buffalo. He's in Indiana now, I think. But he gave a talk in to the Rochester WordPress meetup and said the only time you should ever have the word submit on the button on your website is if you are a dominatrix.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. That gets people thinking.
It really does. So yeah, that's the first thing I change is always says send or something more interesting on the bottom of it.
Right, right, right. I think just because a computer is involved we don't have to be robots, right?
Right.
We don't have to emulate those behavior. Yeah. No, that was. I think you should do that talk more often.
I should. I've done it quite a few times, but maybe I'll revive it this year for a camp or two. You never know.
Yeah, maybe you can call in to every of the 800 meetups that are out there.
Maybe I'll just start tweeting the tips. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's something that you wish you had learned earlier about WordPress that you've learned since that might have made life a little easier earlier on when you're using the WordPress system?
I don't know if it made my life easier, but it kind of opened my eyes on how powerful actually WordPress is. It would have been good to know about custom post type a little bit earlier, yeah, and the whole custom taxonomy, custom fields that would have, well, I don't know if it would have made a difference, but it took a while till I got a project where I could use all those. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, go to a WordCamp sooner would have been really a good tip for me as a rookie WordPresser, because the community is amazing. Yeah, it's just so different from any other technology company. So different from any technology
community.
Yeah. That it's really a relief. And as a business owner, you are so you're alone at the top. Yeah, you cannot talk about things that you're ruminating about without upsetting everybody. Kind of, oh, what's coming? Yeah, and if you have a group that you can bounce off ideas. Yeah, and the WordCamp community has quite a few freelancers and consultants that went before you. Yeah, so ask them tips. And everybody tells you things,
even
absolutely. If they are, so it's really cool. Yeah.
And everybody loves to tell you their story. So if you are asking advice based on somebody else's story, they're going to tell it to you for sure. I like to talk about myself. If you want to know, just ask me.
For sure. Yeah, that's a tip that I give my husband every time he says, I'm going to do a party or a meeting and I don't know anybody. Well, ask a question. And then you don't say anything.
That's right. You can just observe. You just have to light the match and everybody else does all the work.
Yeah.
When you think back over all of the meetups and WordCamps and events that you've been to, is there like a specific moment or two that you can look back that was really pivotal or inspirational to you? Whether it was somebody you met, a talk you heard, a talk you gave, and what was it?
That's a very difficult question for me to answer because I can only look back that much, and it's all involving kind of that. So definitely meeting the community team first time, person to person in at WordCamp Europe 17 was just really amazing. Yeah, kind of all the people that I see on Slack every day or every other day, and all of a sudden they're in front of me in person. Yeah, and that was really amazing. Yeah, so going to a contributor day was kind of the pivot of my WordPress community involvement and working with people on the same desk, just stand up and have some coffee together and chat a bit. Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah, if you can ever, so whoever is listening to this, if you get a chance to go to Contributor Day, go there. People are very friendly and they help you. And there are 24 teams on WordPress that you can contribute. Yeah, just pick one that you like and then
get involved.
Get involved. And if it doesn't work out, go to the next one. Nobody holds it against you.
Exactly. You know, the way you talked about that reminded me of when we all got together in St. Louis last year for the organizer dinner. And, you know, we'd all been talking like almost a full year in Slack, but you're mostly in your little squads and your little teams. when I got to the pizza place and saw this long, huge line of tables, and you could look to the left and you could look to the right, you could see the sheer volume of people and the passion at the table. And you and I were sitting right beside each other, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
And just to be there, it just felt so, to me, so awe-inspiring that we were all there for the same purpose and working together the same way. So I think it's a very similar type of experience to what you're talking about. For sure.
Yeah. It's kind of, that's where 2017 was the first time that I then also started to volunteer. Yeah. So I volunteered for WordCamp.js 17. And then the year later, WordCamp Miami, doing volunteering, and then sign up as an organizer for WordCamp US 18. So that's definitely the next step of involvement. But be careful, they suck you in.
Oh my goodness, for sure. And by they, it's, sometimes it's you and me sucking them in. So
so you need to kind of create your own space. Yeah, and if somebody asks you something to do, no is a very valid answer.
It is, or even later, perhaps another time.
Well, if you say no, then the person can move on to the next person to ask. Yeah,
and that's true.
It's fun if you. Yeah. So it's quite an interesting experience.
Absolutely, it really is. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Gutenberg. So I'll tell you, from the start, I was skeptical. And I'm sure most of us were, right? So big changes are things that people are never comfortable with. Big changes are, they just make you uncomfortable. And so I was in my happy little WordPress bubble, and I knew how it worked, and I knew everything, and I was teaching people how to use WordPress. And then suddenly it was like the needle scratch across the record, like, everything's changing. And here's this thing called Gutenberg. And of course, you know, there's a difference between Gutenberg and the block editor as, you know, a project and things like that. And people do use the terms interchangeably, as I know you're well aware. But I am 100% on board with the block editor now. And I'm learning new things about it all the time, of course. And I think about a month ago, I tweeted, hey, did you know you could save blocks to use them over and over again? And like, people are messaging me like, duh, you know, but when you discover some of these things, whether you discover them on your own or you're reading about it and you learn more, it's exciting. And just like, you know, Facebook makes changes, people hate it. You know, WordPress, we make changes, people kind of dig in their heels. And then over time, things, you know, of course, at the beginning, it grows and it gets better and we fine tune and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's exciting. It's so exciting. And I'm embracing it now. And so what made you decide to be like the Gutenberg person? Like, tell us a little bit about how you embraced that journey.
Well, so I was in, that was the same WordCamp Europe, 2017, when, so I get that people, all right, so first your question, and then I'll answer to whatever you said. 2017 in Paris, Matt Mullenweg was in a discussion with O'Malik and was demoed, not live, but in a little video, what the new editor looks like, mm-hmm. Or will look like, and also announced that there is now a beta black plugin out there for people to try it out. And I was so fascinated by it that I say, wow, that's really cool. I want to learn everything about it. Yeah. And I was in Paris, and I was still another 3 weeks or so in Europe, because my family is still in Europe and we make the trip to all the parental units, as I call them, lovingly, of course.
Of course.
So I was on my computer and sometimes late at night, and I saw some of the what other people did with Gutenberg. I was, of course, downloaded the plugin, spun up a test site and tried it out and saw a little, and I knew it was beta, and it was kind of the, I don't know, it was the third version or so from the plugin that they came out. And I thought, this is really cool. That will change WordPress, how WordPress is going to be. But little did I know what the other reaction was in the community. But what I saw was what I saw in 2009, when the content editors from the nonprofits that we kind of migrated, there was one thing that changed and I knew I was on the right track. So the techies went away and the communicators came in once we did WordPress, because the techies had nothing else to do. Yeah. But the president, the membership chair, the newsletter editor, they all came in and they had a lot of creativity flowing into that. And I saw the how their eyes lit up to how easy it is. Yeah. And the Gutenberg is the next thing. The block editor is the next thing for that. And we have all been waiting for it for 15 years or so. Yeah. So, and coming from a content management, I built my own content management system, and how hard it was to teach people how to, even if it's a so-called what you see is what you get editor, it was hard. Yeah. And WordPress was hard to do the things that you can do now with the block editor. And of course, the millions and millions of users that are using Elementor or Beaver Builder or other page builders, like Site Origins Page Builder, or did I? Yeah, so that's the market, yeah, and they knew it, but they only find a minuscule time of the end users that are out there, the millions and hundreds of millions of users out there. So I think the going Gutenberg is the right direction, and I saw it kind of that hard, but it wasn't that hard for me to see, just from the experience that I had on the internet. And of course, this is new software, so there is this idea of the adoption of innovation, that first come in the innovators, those are pretty much the developers, and then come in the early adopters. And for Gutenberg, the block editor, I consider myself an early adopter. And all those who created things like Rich Tabor or Mike McAllister, who did the first Gutenberg block plugins, where they kind of extended the native blocks. And so early adopters, and then comes, and then about 15%, both the innovators and the early adopters, but 15% of the larger community that's going to be using it later on. And the idea is that the first, they are not coming in right at the moment when it's available, but they come later. And the early majority, and there's a lot, a late majority, and then there are laggards, so to speak. And that whole period takes about 5 years, to kind of get everybody on board. Yeah, so, and until it's actually migrated or merged into core, the clock wasn't ticking.
Yeah. Right. So
it was only when it's in core, it's taken seriously. So for me, I was, it needs to be in core now. Don't wait
another year. What are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for? Because what happened in January a year ago, once it was in core and everybody got through the holidays, there was a lot of pockets of creativity already on the plugin edit, plugins for themes. And no plugin developer takes anything that's not in core seriously to actually waste the thought on it, unless they're really into it. Yeah. So I think it was, and so we are now getting into a little bit into early majority, halfway there. And so that's one process to kind of think about. The other part is when change happens from the outside, so we are not making the change, we have a lot of stages to go through. It's kind of like the stages of grief.
Yes.
And you saw it in the postings on the support forums. You saw it in the blogs of people. Yeah, there's a lot of. So the first thing is denial. It's never gonna happen. Yeah. Oh, this is gonna. It's gonna be folded. Yeah. It's like the internet. Yeah. It's a fad.
Right.
So that's the first reaction, and then comes anger, and that's when a lot of people got vocal. But it wasn't something that you can actually discuss things. You just need to acknowledge it and say, yeah, you're right. It's horrible, kind of that they, and some people are still stuck in that anger phase. And sometimes people bounce back from the next thing is, I think, bargaining, and then it's acceptance. There was one thing. Right. Depression.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to leave WordPress. Yeah. So, and this is horrible and I'm never going to make it. So we saw that in the whole community. Yeah. And I was, you couldn't tell somebody who is angry, said, you're just in the second stage. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
you get somebody really angry about that.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting to see. And, so it's gung ho. It's still going, moving forward very, very fast. Every 2 weeks, a new release. That's some great developing. Yeah. And the group.
It's amazing. Really
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing community, and the people who contribute to CORE and contribute to the forward motion of the block editor, hats off to them, because it's a Herculean, effort, and it's really proving itself, in my opinion, anyway. I work for Give WP, and I'm proud that we were working on Give blocks before people were. Before Gutenberg was part of, the block editor was part of CORE. Because we knew that our users, we have over 70,000 installs, which, isn't Yoast, but it isn't also small by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
So it's significant. And so we knew that our users would have to have a way to be able to use that. And of course, we continue to make things better as things develop, and we work closely with that too. So I'm proud of the fact that we as a company were early adopters. I'm a little disappointed in myself that I dug my heels in but I was slow to follow, but mostly because I wasn't freelancing anymore. So I wasn't in it every day to force myself to learn it. So this is always my advice to people. Number one, play with it, right? Just get in there and play with it. I'm going to hate it. Don't say that. Get in there and see what you think about it. But secondly, if you really, really want to force yourself to learn how to use the block editor well, volunteer to organize a WordCamp because you will use the block editor on your WordCamp website. And last year I probably posted, 50 or 60 blog posts to WordCamp US. And I'm not an expert, but I'm much more closer to being an expert on how to use the block editor because I have just the experience now. Doing that.
Yeah. So there are a few things where I say it, if you know about it, it gets you in it faster. Mm-hmm. So one thing is when you start putting blocks in paragraphs and you hover around with your mouse, all of a sudden things pop up and you don't know what you did, and all of a sudden it's gone. And where did you find it? Kind of thing. Fix the toolbar for the blocks to the top. There's under settings. Toolbar, top toolbar, and that everything, the block toolbar that's on every little block kind of, and overlapping things and totally disturbing, just plug it up to the top and you get a little bit more quiet around your...
That's good to know.
Yeah. And the other part is, what was the other part? I forgot.
That's okay. It'll come back to you.
Yeah.
What if I sat on I think twice last year I sat on panels. One of them was in Ottawa and the other was in Hamilton, Ontario, on Gutenberg in the age of Gutenberg and page builders, or page builders in the age of Gutenberg, something like that. And I've been a diehard Divi user for years. I think whatever you start using is where you kind of fall, right? So I started using Divi. I love Divi. I'm pretty good at using Divi. And so I was like, why do I need the block editor? I use Divi. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't use anything 100% anymore. So if you look at certain of my websites, I just launched kindnesses2020.org. It is a hybrid. So my pages are all done using Divi. My posts are all done using the block editor. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason you can't love both. And that was my biggest takeaway and my biggest gift to the WordPress community is we can all get along.
Right. And not everybody knows that, but the Gutenberg development team really worked closely in the background with Robbie at the Beaver Builder, as well as with the folks from Elementor, to kind of see that there is that something that can coexist with Ye.
Right.
And what do we have to do to make it coexist? And Elementor actually jumped right on the place where it says, okay, I can give you templates, or a user, I can give you templates, and then you have a few blocks already there, or the templates that you used before, you can also use in the block editor and make that work. And that was really the part. So a lot of people, but that took a while, so the page builders are not kind of stepping on each other's toes, or especially on the block editors, to make it work. So at the beginning, they just fell back to the classic editor. But now I think every one of those page builders has, is coexisting well with Gutenberg. Yeah, and people can, can try it out and see, oh, okay, can I replicate? Because like you, not a whole lot of people kind of jump on it just because you have nothing else to do. Yeah, we all have to get work done. Yeah,
and if exactly.
And if you have to do something, learn something new, it cannot be in stress. Otherwise, you're kind of in total different your mindset there. So be rested when you start using it.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Don't have something that kind of puts pressure on you for that particular day, because you're gonna lose yourself a little bit there.
Yeah. If you're freelancing, if you're building a site for somebody else, if you're building an important site, don't try Gutenberg first there. Spin up a development site, build a blog, do something where you can experiment with less stress, less pressure, and no outside forces weighing heavily on you to get it done, because you'll enjoy it a whole lot more. I think that's very true.
Definitely.
Very true. I love that. And so I don't know if anybody has using hashtag GutenTips yet, but I think you should start sending out little hashtag GutenTips through Twitter, like the putting the things at the top of the page. That would be really helpful. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, I did in January or February or March 2018, I did Gutenberg tips as a moment, a collection of moment Twitter moments. And I didn't think about resurfacing that. But of course, you have the same discussions over and over again until the more people kind of come online and look for things. So those of you that are out there and listening to this podcast, if you have a tutorial that gets people started with a block editor, and it's about a year old or something like that, brush it up and make it new again. It's well received, and a lot of people will value it. Yeah, but it needs to have, of course, the new UI pieces in there, so your screenshots need to match what's in there now.
Exactly. That's great. So I, for one, appreciate all of your efforts and sharing Gutenberg and sharing the block editor with the whole community. It's been a thing of beauty, but it's also been a thing of struggle and strife. And, you know, growth always does. Growth hurts. Growth is, you know, it's when we're kids, we get those growing pains, and it's not unlike what we learn in industry as well. So thank you for being a constant for us to look to in the growth of the blog editor.
You're so welcome, yeah. And I met I met great people. So when you look at the live Q&As that we started them in November 2018, just before I became in core with the designers and developers, there was Matthias Ventura and Tammy Lister and Johan Asmussen. They were the leads of the first version, and it was quite an interesting conversation that we had, kind of talking about the back. So if you want to go on the YouTube channel on Gutenberg Times in November 2018, and then we have another 20 or so. Yeah, I did shows with freelancers, what they are doing with consultants, with trainers. And we talked about testing Gutenberg and new software, so that was quite interesting. And now we're doing full site editing and themes, so that's has been quite the blockbuster on the YouTube channel.
That's great. Well, I just love that you've put out so many resources for us, so thank you for that. I'm going to move us into our rapid fire questions. I always love to hear people's answers to these. I'll ask them quickly, but you can answer them with as much time as you need.
Okay.
First question is, what are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to someone building their website?
So I'm getting a little bit outside of what a lot of people do, like SEO and all this for the site builder. I use one is that I use very often is called a post type switcher. So what it does is you start out with your website and then you put pages on there and all of a sudden you say, well, maybe I should do this in post so I can get categories. What do you do? Copy paste the page over? No, you just switch the content type with that plugin.
Nice.
And then it's in your post and you can attach the categories. And we use it so often that my company actually paid a developer to upgrade it to the block editor faster than the original developer would actually had wanted to. So that was quite interesting to do. And then the second one, which we use is called post public review. And that's also one thing that it does very well is it kind of gives you a check mark in your publishing screen where you can say, okay, create a public view of this post because you want to send it to the board or you want to send it to the business owner, but every time you send them something to log in, they'll never do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to send them screenshots, but sometimes you want them to click on something as well. So that has been very helpful in communicating with our clients. And the third, site health.
Okay. Yeah.
Site health. It's part of it is in core, but the other part, the troubleshooting part, is not in core, and it probably never will. It will always be in the plugin. Mm-hmm. So, and that part is very helpful if you're troubleshooting your website, but you don't know it's a plugin conflict, it's a theme conflict, and it automatically deactivates all plugins only for the admin. So your website on the front end works just fine. Yeah, but for the admin views, everything is kind of deactivated. All the plugins are deactivated and the theme goes back to a default theme. So, and then you can successively one by one activate the plugin for the admin and see if it breaks again. Yeah, and this is very, very helpful. When you just kind of start troubleshooting websites. So
that sound very useful.
Yeah, that's very useful. And I really admire the people that are there, mostly on the support team and some other WordPress contributors who built this. And I say, yay, yay to them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes the best plugins aren't for the end user, aren't for the site visitor. They're for the people who are working and building the sites and keeping them running. Absolutely.
Yeah, and not spending 2 hours troubleshooting things.
Exactly. At any point in your WordPress journey, have you had a mentor? Whether it was an official mentor or somebody that kind of took you under their wing or that you looked up to, and who was it?
Well, I'm kind of after 15 years or so in business, or now 21 in business, mentorship was kind of a little in the early stages and there was no WordPress around, but I still treasure them. They were mostly from the Naples Freenet, the people that took me under the wings, because that was the family away from family. Yeah, we immigrated to the United States 98 into Naples from Munich. Munich, metropolitan area, Naples in August, dead. So I was kind of a little bit, what do I do? And I had been dabbling in the internet, and my first website is from 96. There's a Freenet. Wow. Let's go there and see what they're doing. And I learned so much from them. Mm. But who do I admire in the WordPress community?
Yeah.
I am afraid if I name one, I'm missing a whole lot of other people that I admire.
And give a couple of shout outs to people that
everyone has a fantastic story.
Mm-hmm.
So the shout outs is for all contributors. Everyone who says, okay, I want to take a role, I want to take a task, I want to take a role in leadership, steps up to the plate and makes this all better. And that they are doing that. They also need to look at sustainability, so it's fine. But that's a lot of admiration to kind of do that over many, many years. Yeah, when you look at the core contributors, when you look at the community, WordCamps have now 10 and 12 year anniversaries, It's mm-hmm. just amazing. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are the meetup organizers. We have 800 meetup organizers in, 120 countries or something like that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. And they do even more than WordCamp organizers, because WordCamp organizers, although it's really a lot of work to do that, mm-hmm. but they do it once a year. Meetup organizers do this almost every month, not in that scale, but they think about the community, they mm-hmm. put a program together, they do their logistics. So definitely those. Yeah, and then there are those podcasters, yeah. You meet
them. And you.
A great podcasters out there. What Amy and Tracy and Angela are doing with Women WP.
Oh, I love it, yes.
Yeah, that's just fabulous, yeah. Or yeah. even, Matt Madeiras with his Matt Report, who mm-hmm. takes a different spin now with his Business 5000, but he did a lot of people listen to him about building a business with WordPress. So mm-hmm. those are all people to admire. Marius, what's his last name? I only know them from the handles.
It's okay.
He's a lead on support. Jan Dembowski from mm-hmm. the support. They are just the nicest people, and mm-hmm. they have to guard our community. Being Mika, same thing. Plugin review team, long-time community member and guardian of our ecosystem to keep it all safe for everybody. I love it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. There are a lot. You're right. There are a lot of amazing people in our community for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Carry it down. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's by the more well-known that you become, or the more involved you are in the WordPress community, the harder it is to say one or two people, for sure. I completely understand that.
Yeah. And I admire you. Yeah, 57, 96 recordings in half a year. Well, yeah.
That's been fun. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, imagine.
Thanks. What's something that you'd still like to learn in WordPress but you haven't tackled yet?
So, didn't succeed yet, but I tackled it, and I'm learning JavaScript for the third time.
Oh, so good for you.
In the space for so long, JavaScript has been as long in the space as I am, or even longer, but it's evolving, mm-hmm. And every time you use JavaScript, there's a whole different universe out there, and the modern JavaScript is really takes it away. It's kind of takes it off to the next level, and I definitely want to be more proficient in it, and in the next few years, I know Ajax, who knows, for programming part, and I know jQuery, and that's all, it still works very well on mm-hmm. some of our legacy sites. We still have legacy sites and that we maintain or even expand on, but that's, and that gets you into React for Gutenberg and mm-hmm. Then later in the admin section if you want to. Yeah, so that is, it's not easy. Even if you are a developer, that's why I totally understand why people are hesitant to start looking into block editor, because all of a sudden a lot of things change.
For sure. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made in WordPress, and what did you learn from it?
Well, if you don't know things, you do things.
That's so true.
So I did some live editing through the admin editor on a plugin or theme or something like that. I didn't take the site down, but I very well could have. So after I fixed that, that was kind of an emergency, and I just went, let's look at it. And I very, very fast learned how to do China themes after that.
I think many of us have had that similar experience. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, some of them actually take sites down when they do that.
Yes, yeah, so you're lucky that that didn't happen to you, because I have taken a site down or two in my time. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
The proudest moment is probably the a website for a that we. So I got called in to do project management for a company that had another agency doing their website, and they were doing it in .NET.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And so what they wanted me to do to actually bring it past the finish line and then teach their people how to actually make changes. And then the deeper I got in there, the harder it was for me to envision anybody actually doing anything in there. So I pitched to the business owner, said, well, you spend already, I don't know, 300 hours on it. Give me another 100 and I'll make you a WordPress site that anybody can. And we actually did it, even with all the requirements of that. And that was because we used custom post types, we used custom fields, we even used the repeater field, and even had some custom programming it on the lead generation there. But it was just an amazing site. The product was a little, you know, there are cables, and then there are 65 cables. And when you look at the pictures, they all look the same. But of course, there are differences. And that was especially right. that this company had. And we needed a lot of help for them. We did the catalog for them. And once we had it, we could put the catalog from the WordPress websites, the printed one, the PDF version, and other things. So it was really cool for them. And it's still out there, and it's working well for them. And I'm really happy that was the first kind of doing this live.
That's awesome. Yeah. We're going to go through the next question, couple questions really quickly because we're running out of time. So the first one is, if you weren't working in web and web technology, what's another career you might like to attempt?
Well, working in the web is my second career. Oh. I was an executive in the restaurant management in Germany. Wow. And did all kind of things, the headquarters, the F&B. Controller, and did also general manager of a shop, regional manager. So second career is that, and that's what I'm probably gonna do until I kick the bucket. If I would not have done this, I might have gone into painting. Not the house painting, but the picture painting.
Art,
I really love it. I love every process, every part of the process, be it the smell of the color, or being the smell of the linseed oil or whatever that's in there, or the mixing colors on the palette with the palette knife, and then make a whole picture out of it. It's a great process, but of course it doesn't pay the bills, and I will never pay the bills for it because I'm really bad at it.
Well, you'll have to send me a picture of one of them. I want to see. Oh, that's really. So yeah, you're not bad at it. You're not bad at it at all. That's beautiful.
That's
lovely.
It's one of the latest ones. I stopped about 10 years ago because
that's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, what's something on your bucket list? What's something you still want to look forward to doing?
Oh, I want to travel with my husband to China and India. Ooh. Maybe in the different order. First. India and then China. Yeah.
Very good. And then let's see. Show us or tell us one of your hidden talents that the WordPress community might not know about.
I'm a 17-minute napper.
Oh, wow. That's just 17 minutes, huh?
70 minutes on the dot. Yeah.
I learned That's that. Awesome.
I learned this when I was in college. Yeah.
I love it. 17-minute napper. I have... done some power naps in my day, so. Absolutely. And then tell us how we can find you online. What's your website? What's your podcast? Just give us some details. And of course, those will be in the show notes on the post as well. So
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, well, you can find me on Twitter and on Slack with my initials. That's BPH, three-digit Twitter handle gives me a lot of credit.
That's amazing.
Street cred with the youngins.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the GutenbergTimes.com, definitely. And that's also GutenbergTimes.com/podcast. It is the Gutenberg change log. And on Slack, on the WordPress Slack, also with my BPH Twitter initials as a handle. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, Birgit, thank you so much for being here today. I have just enjoyed my time. My face hurts a little bit from smiling so much with you, but that's always a good problem to have. I know, just for exercises. I have to frown some more today. Thank you so much. I always look forward to spending time with you. And I will see you in Miami. I'm going to be speaking at Miami as well. So I will see you there.
Definitely. And then we do the dirty chai.
We're getting dirty chai together. That's right. Absolutely. So
all thank right. you. So well, much. Thank you so much for having me. And it was a wonderful, a great pleasure. And good luck with the next recording that you have.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.